Well, hello there. It's another day. I'm Jim Harrington.
And I am Bill Knight. Happy Friday, Easter weekend, the whole nine yards.
Hey, maybe we should point out to the people that we're not going to be here tomorrow. We're taking an extra day this Easter weekend to chill.
Where are we going to be if we're not going to be here?
We're going to be there. We're going to be over there. We're not going to be here. We're going to be over there.
Over there.
Exactly.
Right there.
Yeah.
There's a clock in that wall.
That's okay, exactly where we'll be.
I'm the timekeeper this week. I don't know. Jeez.
Yeah, we're just going to take some time to relax. You know, two older guys. We need a little extra time.
Got to have time to just kind of sit and reflect and grow some cobwebs on us here, you know?
First of all, two things were in New York yesterday. Do you realize there were four either present or former U.S. presidents within like 25 miles of each other yesterday in New York?
Mm-hmm. Yes, but Trump was there by invitation.
That's exactly right. I was going to point that out. That's exactly right. He went to the wake of Officer Diller, who was
slain,
assassinated, gunned down.
You know, and it was a dirty, it was an ex-con that did it. And, you know, when he was coming over to the car for a routine stop, he had, you know, you wear a vest. So they go, oh, he had a vest on, though, you know. Well, they all cops wear a vest. They have to. And the guy knowingly shot him below the vest line, which
through the glass, Bill. Through the glass. He didn't even roll the glass down. It was such a sneak attack. You know, it's beyond comprehension for a decent person. And how many times was he arrested, this guy, before?
Oh, it was
like 27 times.
Yeah, he's an ex-con.
Yeah.
Now he goes down as a cop killer, and I will be damned if I don't think that he's probably going to, he's somehow they're going to play him as the victim in this.
Yeah, yeah. You know, Trump was at the wake, which was held in Massapequa on Long Island, and he had this to say after he visited with the family.
Well, thank you very much, everybody. I want to thank Bruce and all of the people that have worked so hard to make this area beautiful and safe. And this is what happened, is such a sad event, such a horrible thing, and it's happening all too often, and we're just not going to let it happen. We just can't. 21 times arrested this thug, and the person in the car with him was arrested many times, and they don't learn because they don't respect. They're not given the respect. The police are the greatest people we have. There's nothing, and there's nobody like them, and this should never happen. I just visited with a very beautiful wife that now doesn't have her husband. Stephanie was just incredible. Their child, brand new, beautiful baby, sitting there, innocent as can be, that doesn't know how his life has been changed. But the Diller family will, you'll never be the same. You can never be the same. And we have to stop it. We have to stop it. We have to get back to law and order. We have to do a lot of things differently, because this is not working. This is happening too often. It's an honor to be here. And again, I want to just thank all of you folks for allowing this. And Bruce, thank you. Bruce has been a friend of mine for a long time. He's done an incredible job out here. But this is such a sad occasion. The only thing we can say is maybe something is going to be learned. We've got to toughen it up. We've got to strengthen it up. This should never be allowed. Things like this shouldn't take place, and to take place so often. So thank you all for being here. It's an honor, and it's an honor for me to be here. This is a great family, the Diller family. I met the friends, and I met every one of them inside, and these are just incredible people that are just devastated. They're devastated. They've got a tough road. It's going to be a very tough road. So thank you very much, everybody. Appreciate it.
Now, let me just explain something. Trump was there, like Bill said, by invitation from the family. He didn't just stop in. I heard somebody say on a talk show yesterday, I'm really disappointed in Trump making political points by going to this officer's wake. And the host fortunately said, wait a second. He was there by invitation. He was invited by the family to pay his respects. And he took the opportunity. You know, all Biden had to do yesterday, he was so close. And, you know, when a president moves, he doesn't stop at the lights. He doesn't get stuck in traffic. They opened.
No, he's right through.
Yeah, yeah. He could have gone out to Massapequa in about 45 minutes. You know, maybe less. Mm-hmm. Maybe less with all the roads opened up and stuff. He could have gotten in his van, said, "Look, it, I'll be a little late, or I won't be there." He had enough time to stand in the middle of Times Square with Bill Clinton, three actors, Barack Obama, and somebody else. He had time to take a picture, Biden did, with these other cronies from the Democratic Party, smiling like a bunch of juveniles.
Mm-hmm.
But he didn't have time to get in the car and go out and pay his respects, and it would have been an incredible opportunity to make political points, and he blew it.
Oh, he would, you know, they were fundraising. He would have gotten more funds from that, and the Democrat and the media's Democrats and the media would have been all over it. It would have been a big thing, but they're too stupid to understand that. They did get heckled, you know, and I know Obama stepped in at that point, going, "No, you can't talk without listening." Well, you know what, Mr. Obama? Heed your own words. You know, you guys sit there and want to suck up all the wind and or the air in the room to begin with.
Yeah. Well, you know how much, by the way, it was $500,000 per ticket, per plate. Yeah. What were they serving for dinner there that was worth $500,000?
Cottage cheese.
Very expensive cottage cheese. A $100,000 donation, in quotes, would get you a photo with Biden, Obama, and Clinton by famed photographer Annie Leibovitz, okay? Now, she is a great photographer, but I wouldn't pay $100,000. By the way, I wouldn't pay $500,000 to be in the same room with these guys. I wouldn't pay $50, all right? And the other thing is this. If I were lucky enough to have been that wealthy where I could have made a decision to have dinner with these people and spend that kind of money, I think it's a sin to spend $500,000 for a political function. $500,000. I mean, can you imagine the good, the true good that you could have done with $500,000? Now, that being said, Bill, I should point this out before I know you have something to say, but Trump, when he was out in Massapequa, and he made those comments, I don't know whether you're aware of this or not, but quietly, without any fanfare, without telling it to the press, he gave a substantial donation to Tunnels to Towers. He made a substantial donation. He didn't go out and say, "Oh, by the way, I gave money to Tunnels to Towers." No, no, no. He didn't say a word. It was something literally that was leaked to the press, probably by Tunnels to Towers. They were probably so overwhelmed. But he wasn't there to score points. He was there to pay his respects. So my question to you people who are leftists out there, who do you think the true man is in the race for the presidency? Is it this clown that we have in office right now who spends his time yucking it up with a bunch of wealthy cronies in New York and doesn't do his responsible thing and go to the wake of this fallen hero? And he was a hero. You know, people say, well, he was just doing a traffic stop. No, no, no. Every time a police officer goes up to a car, every time, for every ticket, he's taking his life in his hands because he doesn't know who he stopped. So, and you never know what's going to happen. And he's, unfortunately, not the first guy to have been shot and killed at a traffic stop.
Oh, yeah, but they're going to take the guy and trivialize his life and the fact that they're already kind of doing that now. You know, he's not a guy that ever avoided confrontation or stuff like that. And I'm going, oh, okay, they're going to turn him into this, you know, over-enthusiastic cop, you know, that, you know, yeah.
You know, they're going isn't, to, isn't that how they always do it, Bill? They,
yeah,
they
it
politicize
is.
It.
Well, look at, you know, I'm worried about the fact that they're trying to, you know, they're trying to diminish Trump and his spiritual values. Well, your spiritual values are yours and they're personal.
Right.
And nobody should judge another person. Whether you believe them or not doesn't matter. You know, it just doesn't. And
right.
That's all there is to it. you know, Trump is now apparently selling a Bible for $59.99. It's $60. Mm-hmm. You know, and they're going, oh, you know, and the left is all over that and trying to divide. Well, number one, they're trying to diminish Trump, and they're trying to diminish
the Bible
and yeah. your Christian faith.
Yeah,
and they're trying to divide, you know, Christians, because there are Christians that may not be a Trump supporter.
Sure.
You know, so they're trying to hammer that wedge in there. Make no mistake about it. This is not an attack on
Christianity.
Trump or yeah. Christianity. It is, they're using it to divide and tear it apart. It's actually an attack on you. They don't want people to believe in God. They want them to believe in Joe Biden, Obama, yeah. and Bill Clinton, the Three Stooges, Larry, Curly, and Moe there that's, you know, getting $500,000 a plate. What a scam!
Well, wait a second. How Christian is it to allow all these people to come across the border, so much drug, so much... Oh, it's a matter of fact, Bill, I think you've said it many times, I'll let you say it again, that as far as child trafficking, sexual trafficking into our country, where are we on the list of countries? You had said this many times.
We're number one. We're the number one
with a
importer.
Bullet. Yeah.
With a bullet.
Wow.
With a something or other. But, yeah, we are the number one importer of child trafficking. And what kind of trafficking, Bill? Come on, do you really seriously have to ask that question? I mean, we're talking about the sex trade, you know, and
do you think
any
Biden,
other nefarious things?
Bill,
that,
do you think Biden knows this? Do you think Biden knows that all the sex trafficking is going on? That
well, let me ask you a question here. Biden sniffs hair. Clinton has a certain thing. He's been on Epstein Island.
Yeah.
Obama, we have questions about certain things.
Right.
Who were the Hollywood elite that were there?
Oh, I know. That's a very good point. That whole room may be filled, might have been filled with like-minded people.
You know,
look at the
sometimes Sean... the elite have these certain little, you know, they've got everything
yes.
in the world. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, and so they've got everything in the world. What else is there? Well, let's jump to the dark side.
Bill?
Let's be perverted.
What you just said is right on the money. Look at this Sean Puffy Combs thing.
Mm-hmm.
Not, you know, P. Diddy, rather, you know? This guy had all the money in the world, has had all the money in the world for decades now. He hasn't changed, by the way. If you look at a picture of the guy, he looks like he did way back when, so... Maybe he participates in that liquid that we've talked about before. And by the way, I ask people to go look at a picture of Bill Clinton, Biden, and Obama, and the three actors who are standing in Times Square yesterday. Bill Clinton looks 20 years younger in that picture. I'm not saying what he's doing. I'm not saying what he's drinking.
Oh, he's getting a nap in there.
All I'm saying is he has found the elixir of youth, and he's drinking it because he looked like the Bill Clinton of yesteryear. I thought, you know how he's looked so old recently? If you see,
oh yeah, he was looking bad. Well, there was even a question of his health just a few years ago because it was running down, and it was obvious.
Yeah.
I was going, well, his age is kicking in. Yeah. You know, think about it. He's been on the scene since the '80s.
Well, yeah, he was governor, I think, in the 80s or early, at least the early 90s. No, I guess I guess it would have been the late 80s. Yeah, Bill, absolutely. I think he gave a speech in 88 at the Democratic National Convention.
I mean,
it went on and on and on.
I ran into the guy back in 81 or 2, I believe it was 81, as a matter of fact.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, I mean.
You met him? See, there you go.
Yeah, I did.
He was everywhere. But the thing is, the guy looks 20 years younger in the picture that was taken yesterday. The thing is, Biden could have gone out to that that wake, paid his respects. It would have meant a lot to the family and to the country to see their leader be as responsible as he should be. But and it, again, he was in New York City. Massapequa is not that. It's not like he. It would have been prohibitive. He could have gone out at 2 o'clock or 3 o'clock in the afternoon, paid his respects, and been back in New York by 6 or 7 o'clock at night, and had all the time in the world, been there for, he wouldn't have missed the appetizer, okay? But nope, Biden didn't go. As a matter of fact, what, you know what the closest thing he did do is he called the mayor of New York, and he said to the mayor of New York, tell the family I send along my respects. That's what he said. That's what Biden did. That was in the
secondhand. Secondhand news. Yeah. Yep.
In the meantime, President Trump was there.
You know, they did that fundraiser yesterday. I don't know how many tickets they sold to that thing, but I'm sure a big gala event. All the money came out because it's a nice way for dark money to come in and look like it's legit money. But Biden has gotten over $1 billion here in the past month or two from dark, undisclosed sources. I mean, they have got a war chest that they don't even want to talk about. And they're building this chest that's insurmountable. You know.
By the way, you were talking about, I think you mentioned did you mention that tunnel or did I hear it somewhere? P. Diddy's, maybe you did, maybe you didn't say it. I thought you did, but... P. Diddy, Sean Combs, in his pool area, he has an underwater tunnel.
Oh, yeah, that you can leads, swim under, yeah.
That leads to a private grotto, right? And they think it may go actually further than the grotto. We talk about these guys stepping into the dark side because they have so much. This is a video of him with a 15-year-old Justin Bieber. He has his arm around Bieber, and he's showing him the car. He's going to give him a very expensive, probably Lamborghini or something like that, a Maserati. He's going to give him a car. And he was bragging on this video about how Bieber was his for the next 48 hours. They didn't say what that meant, but they were going to party hardy is what he implied.
And, I'm sure they did.
And I guess what I'm saying is this is, they have so much that, and they're so limited when it comes to intelligence. You know, Sean Combs made his money as a rap mogul, you know, and there's a certain amount of luck involved with his success. He had a cleaner, Bill. Do you remember?
Somebody that goes in and cleans up the mess.
He has exactly right.
Yeah, I know what a cleaner is. Yes.
He has a cleaner, a guy who, if Sean Combs does anything,
they go in and they wipe
everything. This guy will go
out
in and wipe it clean. Yep.
Clean it all up. There was a movie about that, too, the cleaner and stuff like that. They'll clean up. I mean, literally, if you offed somebody in a room, you call up the cleaner. And they're going to come, and they're going to get the body, dispose of it.
Yep.
They are going to sit there and scrub and clean. They come in there with the gear to clean
bleach.
Everything.
Yep.
There will not be a trace, and that place will look pristine.
Yeah, and you will not find that body. And by the way,
oh, no.
That's what was implied when I heard them it described with this guy's cleaner, that the cleaner that this guy Combs has will clean anything. So I'll just leave it at that. That's what I heard on one of the talk shows yesterday. This is the kind of thing that we're dealing with. You know, when you hear people say there's a lot of corruption in Hollywood, we shouldn't be surprised when you hear a story like this.
Well, you know, let's just say there's an underground.
Yeah.
An underground, the deep state, the underground government.
Yeah.
And like, you know, kings and their court jesters and the people that entertain them. Well, maybe we have some really funky, naughty kings and queens in this undertow of life that really pull all the strings. And as they've gotten bigger and more arrogant and everything, they've kind of exposed themselves. And for us to sit there and point the finger or do anything, I mean, what was it? The lady from Massachusetts that went out to the dark row or whatever she was called. Beautiful woman that went out there in Hollywood, and then there was that guy that was some kind of movie
agent?
Mogul. Well, I forget what we talked about it weeks ago. I forget the name and everything, but he had that place in the '60s that all the weird stuff came from, and her body was mangled because he was a doctor. That was what it was. He was
a
doctor.
Yeah, was it the Black Dahlia?
The Black Dahlia.
That was 1947, I believe. And they found her body. This young woman, very beautiful young woman, like a lot of, by the way, you know, people don't realize this. There's a city out there. You do, because you've been out there. There is a city of beautiful people, young people. When you see a beautiful lady on the screen, there's 20 of them, at least 100 of them, just like her in Hollywood, trying to get on the screen, you know, who go out there. And they don't get the opportunity, and they get abused many times.
Well, there's a reference call. You know, you hear all these different references. There's one called the Meat House. You're going, what the hell is that? Is that a butcher shop? I guess it could be. But it's basically when kids that run away or they go, oh, that's it, I'm leaving Nebraska. I'm going for the bright lights of Hollywood.
Yeah.
And they go there, and they get whatever they can. They get a bus ticket or something, or a train ticket. And they get off at the station. There's always one gentleman that's right there.
Yep.
Just ready to say, excuse me, can I help you? You know, well, I'm trying to find so-and-so. I want to be you want to be an actress. You know, it happens to be your lucky day. Because I happen to be looking for talent, and you fit the role.
Yeah.
And that's the introduction
to
the Meat House. And then they are introduced into the, they're not introduced, they're taken
and
put into the porn industry. Or what do they call those films where the
snuff?
Where somebody has a preclusion for something.
Oh, yeah.
Pay
fetish.
Big money.
Fetishes. Huh? Fetishes.
Yeah, well, they will pay big money to say, yeah, I want to see this person raped and then their throat slit. They want to see the real thing. And then that body's disposed of. And that's what a meat house is. And that's where these, you know, these people that run away and are lost forever. Yeah, they're lost forever.
Yeah.
You know,
there's a whole industry out there.
Their body was taken, their soul was taken.
There's a whole industry out there that that feeds off of young people with their dreams. You hear, you know, back in the 40s, you heard about, she was discovered at a soda fountain in Burbank or something like that.
BS.
That is a crock of nonsense. These people, and by the way, some of these young starlets who became very successful, I don't want to, you know, belittle their talent because some of them were very talented people, but some of them actually, in order for them to get their break, did things they weren't very proud of, okay? We'll just leave it like that. You know, they did things. They consented to some of these perverted things. They did things. You heard of the casting couch? The casting couch is not some fictional, imaginary thing. The casting couch existed. You start with Harvey Weinstein. Recently, Harvey Weinstein, you know, he was the head of Miramax. You've probably seen their films. Miramax made a lot of movies. Or the Weinstein Company. He and his brother made big movies. And Harvey Weinstein had a casting couch. A lot of the actresses that we see today on the screen, unfortunately, were abused by Harvey.
Yeah, you know, you think we're talking Hollywood trash, and yeah, we are, but there's a reason for it is because the things that we talk about have been going on for a while, but these are the people, these are the dark, some of the dark money that is behind the person that's in the White House now, the fundraiser that was going on yesterday, and they're just more, they're more evident about it. You know, on the left, you know, Joe will be sitting there going, on the one hand, going, well, you know, we've got to crack down on this. On the other hand, He's waist high in it, up to his neck in it, because that's who's funding him, and that's where his money's coming from. Who do you think is paying the $500,000 a plate? That's a nice way to seed that money in there. Where do you think that $1 billion, over $1 billion in dark donations came from in the past?
You just made an interesting, I don't know if you realize, an interesting point. A lot of those people who were going to that dinner yesterday, it may not have been their money they were spending.
Like exactly.
It may have been money that was funneled through them to get to Joe, so it would look
that's
like a leak.
That's what those things are all about. Yeah. I mean, and the Democrats are going, oh, you know, Trump is trying to do a fundraiser to raise $35 million. Well, that's great.
Yeah.
You know, the campaign can use it. You know, could use $1 billion because, you know, that's what he's going up against.
Yeah.
And You know, I know enough people and a balance of enough people to sit there and say, all right, I actually know more Democrats than I know Republicans. All right. Mm-hmm. But the not all the Democrats, mind you, maybe, you know, maybe 35, 40% of them go, oh, Joe, they're teat suckers. But the point is that the majority, you know, there's a big proportion of them. They're going, we've got to change. This is not right. And then you've got, you know, conservatives. Not all, every conservative is for Trump. Mm-hmm. But the vast majority are. And the ones that aren't saying, no, he is the only answer. And it's not because he's on our team. It's because he is the only answer. There is no other answer out there. You know, I was even reading a story, kind of a switch here, but, you know, gun control, Second Amendment falls into this. Tulsi Gabbard had this aha moment. You know, she was, you know, she was in the Senate, wasn't she?
No, she was a representative. She was the
Yeah. But either way, you know, she's out. She, you know, went independent and all of that and, you know, shed her Democrat clothing. And all of a sudden, but she was always saying, no, gun control is good. You know, responsible gun control. And then she had that aha moment. Wait a minute.
Epiphany, yeah.
This is an attack on the Second Amendment, and it's to prevent us from overreaches by the government, which they're overreaching, she and her husband, on guns. And now she switched, and she's going, no, you can't do away with the Second Amendment. People have the right to own guns. Yeah, I think there's responsibility, but that responsibility may not be up to the government because the government is overreaching, and they're trying to disarm. And she's figured that out, and good for her for figuring that out.
Better late than never. Better late than
never. And it's, you know, I was going to say welcome to the party, but it's not a party. So,
you know, this guy we have in the White House, he is, I don't know how anybody can vote for him. I don't know how all the money in the world can get him reelected, because all you have to do is look at his everyday movement, his everyday conversation, his everyday decision making. It's all abysmal. It stinks. I mean, the guy, he goes to his ally in the Middle East, longtime ally in the Middle East, Israel. He turns to him at first after the October 7th assault on innocent people, the butchery of all those innocent people who were just minding their own business. He goes to them at first and says, we're on your side. You can count on us. But as the time progresses and as the pressure increases from opposition, where people start to talk about how we should be supporting the people of Gaza, Biden, like every typical politician with no spine, he swings the other way. Now he's putting pressure on Israel to stop their support, to stop their attack, their assault on Hamas. Here's the problem, okay? I'm totally in favor of a ceasefire in Gaza. It can happen in the snap of a finger if Hamas capitulates, if Hamas surrenders, if Hamas steps aside, because they are the ones that Israel is going after. Israel is not going after the people of Gaza, the innocent people of Gaza, but the storyline that is being fed to the world by the left is that Israel is attacking the innocents of the Gaza area. By the way, the people in Gaza supposedly voted in Hamas again and again and again. Hamas is there supposedly at their behest, but that's not the way it really should be. But anyway, here's the thing. Biden has now really shown his true colors, and he is anti-Israel, essentially. He's putting pressure on Israel to stop the war. Here's the thing, Israel. You have to do what is right for Israel. You know, if there is no Israel down the road, you know, what good is it going to be? If Israel capitulates for politics and in doing so is destroyed, ultimately, what good is that? You know, you have to.
Well, that's what they want to do. You know, Palestine, I mean, you go back to the history. Israel always, you know, they're trying to change the course of history. and the course of what was. The perception's reality, so the perception is, you know, Israel should have never been, and that's not
even
the case.
Even President Trump said, I heard him say it recently to somebody from Israel, you've got to do this war, get it done quickly, and end it, and get back to peace. I heard him say it the day before yesterday. Yeah. You've got to finish this war up, and then get back to peace. You get back to the old Israel, the peaceful Israel. And who can argue with that? But he didn't say you have to surrender. He didn't say you have to stop the war at the detriment of Israel.
Well, the left will take that and twist it and say, well, even he's saying, but, you know,
but he said,
because they are.
He said, finish it up quickly and get back to peace. And it's almost word for word.
Do what you got to do. Get it done.
Exactly right.
Don't prolong this thing because, you know, it's like ripping the Band-Aid off. You know, you take it off slow. That's a slow pain. And you pull off some skin in the scab and it's a mess. Just rip it off. Just
now,
rip it off. Get the pain out of the way. Let's go and move forward.
Another story, Bill, which should never be as low on the headline list as it is now. The story that should be the most important story maybe in the news cycle for weeks is what happened in Baltimore. It should be top. We had our infrastructure attacked, and the media, because, again, these are not reporters anymore. They're repeaters. They just repeat the narrative that they're being handed. Here, today you concentrate on the banquet at Rockefeller Center at Radio City Music Hall. Do not talk about the bridge. We want that to fade away. I want to play for you something, Bill. Laura Logan posted this yesterday. It is, you know, she had said yesterday in one of her updates, it's a cyber attack, and I got my information from the intelligence community. And we all applauded that because she's doing her homework.
Does she talk about the workers that were on the bridge?
No, that we can get to that in a second. But but I want to play this for you. This is a lady named Jen Easterly, and Jen Easterly is the head of cyber and infrastructure security department.
Mm-hmm.
We have a department in our government called the Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Department. And all they do is look into stuff like, you know, breaks in the security of our systems. She testified January 31st in front of Congress of this year, I believe, January 31st, and she talked about the threat that's out there and how we're in danger, and nobody paid any attention because our media stinks. Our media is not doing its job, and the politicians out there are more interested in covering their own ass than doing the right thing for the people of this country. But Jan Easterly said this. Now, it's a little complicated, but pay attention. Even if, you know, one of the nice things about a podcast is that if you don't quite get it the first time, you can back it up and listen to it again. Listen to it until you get it. She's talking about the systems that run our security in this country.
In the event of a major crisis or conflict, this is a world where a major crisis halfway across the planet could well endanger the lives of Americans here at home. Through the disruption of our pipelines, the severing of our telecommunications, the pollution of our water facilities, the crippling of our transportation modes, all to ensure that they can incite societal panic and chaos and to deter our ability to marshal military might and civilian will. Now, the threat is not theoretical. Leveraging information from our government and industry partners, CISA teams have found and eradicated Chinese intrusions in multiple critical infrastructure sectors, including aviation, water, energy, transportation. Now, based on this information, this is likely just the tip of the iceberg. So we're working aggressively with our partners in industry and across the U.S. government to take action now, knowing that this threat is real and this threat is urgent. First, through authorities from the Congress, based on a recommendation from the Cyberspace Solarium Commission, we are using our Joint Cyber Defense Collaborative, or JCDC, to catalyze robust operational collaboration with industry and government to enable us to uncover additional Chinese malicious activity and to develop ways to more rapidly detect it. We are also using our free services and resources and providing intelligence to critical infrastructure owners and operators across the country so that they can detect and prevent Chinese malicious activity. And we're using our now hundreds of subject matter experts and advisors across the nation to work directly with businesses to help them improve the security and resilience of the critical services that Americans rely on every hour of every day. The reality is, however, eradicating Chinese intrusions, bolstering resilience, and even some of the great disruptive work that Director talked about, it's all necessary, but it's not sufficient. The truth is, the Chinese cyber actors have taken advantage of very basic flaws in our technology. We've made it easy on them. Unfortunately, the technology underpinning our critical infrastructure is inherently insecure because of decades of software developers not being held liable for defective technology. That has led to incentives where features and speed to market have been prioritized against security, leaving our nation vulnerable to cyber invasion. That has to stop. Technology manufacturers must ensure that China and other cyber actors cannot exploit the weaknesses in our technology to saunter through the open doors of our critical infrastructure to destroy it. It has to change. We are at a critical juncture for our national security. Today's hearing should serve as an urgent call to action. Specifically, every victim of a cyber incident should report it to CISA or FBI every time, knowing that a threat to one is a threat to all, and cybersecurity is national security. Every critical infrastructure entity should establish a relationship with their local CISA team and take advantage of our free services, including vulnerability scanning, to ensure they can identify and prevent the vulnerabilities that the Chinese cyber actors are using. Every critical infrastructure entity should use these services and CISA cybersecurity performance goals, as well as the advisories that we've published with NSA and FBI and international partners, to do the necessary investments in cyber hygiene to ensure that they can protect their networks, including throughout their supply chains. Every critical infrastructure entity needs to double down on resilience. Businesses need to prepare for and expect an attack and test and prepare for and exercise their critical systems so that they can continue to operate through a disruption and recover rapidly to provide services to the American people. Finally, every technology manufacturer must build, test, and deploy technology that is secure by design. We have to drive towards a future where cyber actors cannot take advantage of technology defects to break into our critical infrastructure. This is a future underpinned by a software liability regime based on a measurable standard of care and safe haven for those software developers who do responsibly innovate by prioritizing security first. Now, none of this is possible unless every CEO, every business leader, every board member for a critical infrastructure company recognizes that cyber risk is business risk, and managing it is a matter of both good governance and fundamental national security. Thank you for the opportunity. I look forward to your questions.
Thank you.
Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency Director Jen Easterly, she explained that China is preparing for opportunities to incite, and this is a quote, societal panic and chaos, end quote. You know, I was thinking, Bill, all the money that we're investing in the Ukraine, we're at war right now in this country, kind of war. We should be putting that money into our own security, cybersecurity.
Yeah, we should. Well, there's a lot of things we should do. Was it Pakistan that just did a big purchase of missiles, you know, and I mean, they're warheads, you know, that, and anyway, and you're going to say, yeah, so what? They got to build up their defenses. Yes, but it's an American defense contractor. And I've always had a problem with that. You know, we have these American companies that are defense contractors. Elon Musk is a defense contractor, but I don't know that he's selling anything to Russia or China.
Yeah.
Might be, I don't know. But, you know, that's American people with American technology that they're developing. Yes, they're a free enterprise company, but they're selling something that can be used against us.
Yeah. Oh, you know when that started big time, would you believe, during the Bill Clinton administration?
Yes.
You know, they couldn't put rockets in precise orbit before we gave them the technology, meaning the U.S. gave the technology to China during the Clinton administration. And by the way, that technology is also used to make their missiles accurate. For example, if they launched a missile pre-1995 at New York, they might hit Detroit, okay? But when Clinton he gave them the ability to hit Fifth Avenue.
Well, you just mentioned Clinton's looking a lot younger these days. And from what I understand now, you can expect to see more of Obama and Clinton as the face of Joe Biden out in the public.
Yes.
Joe is going to go into the background because they expect Obama and Bill Clinton to carry them over the finish line. And that's, I think, if we get to an election, that's when they're going to seal the door. If we get to an election, I still don't know that we're going to make it there. But you got to wonder, you know, if we're giving this stuff away, our technology, you know, well, then another government can take us down. Or is there something bigger and darker beneath the surface? You know, almost, this is almost like a, you know, Mr. Bond, Dr. No.
Yeah.
You know,
oh, absolutely. Yes.
You know, are we living a James Bond 60s movie here?
It's Goldfinger.
You know, and we're going to see Dr. No or somebody with their little cat stroking their cat.
Sure.
You know, I avoided the other word. Either way, I'm just saying. And again, I sometimes think that we're all actors in a play, and it's not a very nice play that we're in right now. So it's kind of scary.
You know, I think you're absolutely correct. I think that we're being manipulated. You know, we're being played by our politicians. If our politicians were paying attention to anything important, that testimony that you just heard was given on January 31st of this year, and less than 2 months later, we had the Baltimore bridge collapse, and it didn't just mean the bridge is out; it means the whole port is closed, and that we are crippled to a certain extent as a country, and these people, in politicians, these people in Washington, they don't care. They're out partying. You saw it last night. Biden's in New York with his cronies sipping champagne and laughing and patting each other on the back.
Let's talk about the bridge. And, you know, there were workers on there. I think there were 8 workers on there. Six were killed.
Yeah.
2 were rescued. Okay, so you got 6 workers on there. What is the odds that out of those 8 workers, they were immigrants? And I'm talking not just, you know, suddenly the illegals here and there now, immigrants. These guys have been here 5, 6, maybe 7 years. So they're relatively new. They're immigrants. I don't know if they've gotten their citizenship, but technically they came across the border, whether legally or illegally, but they were all immigrants working on that bridge. And if you look at the photos, it was a demolition job that went on with that bridge too, because
you take
a steel beam and snap it.
Yeah.
Does it spark and blow up?
No.
Does
flame
shoot out of it?
No.
No, it doesn't.
We should explain. We should explain. You're not hearing that in the media. You're hearing nothing about this in the media. What we're talking about is that there is speculation by some educated people who aren't getting any publicity at all, because the media is doing what they always do, ignoring the truth. And if you look at the video, and there are videos out there right now, you can see in slow motion as the bridge is collapsing what looks like charges going off. Now, some people may say, no, that's actually the concrete powdering as it's splintering. But concrete doesn't spark when it does it.
Even talking about the concrete. I'm talking about up above the big steel girders. Because Let's just say you're a kid. Hey, thanks, Mom and Dad. I got the Erector set from Santa Claus. I'm building a bridge. And you build this one support and this other support, and you build this bridge. Isn't that beautiful? Along comes baby brother that kicks down the one support. Well, then your bridge falls down, and, you know, all of a sudden the metal in your Erector set gets bent, even though it was connected at the other end. It didn't break, spark, and blow up. It bent.
And by the way, where these, quote, charges were placed were key structural points in the bridge.
Rivet points.
Yeah, they were the spots that if you knocked them out, the bridge was coming down.
When you put a bridge together, yeah, they're like anything. You know, you're going to bring that crane in. There's a guy up there with hammers that stand on them, and they jump, and they hammer, and the things put them in the place to where there's someone else or something that puts a big giant bolt through it. And then they put the nut on that tightens it, and then they weld it. And so I'm sitting there going, to get that undone, these eight guys, they weren't doing that. They were doing something up there. But, you know, like I said, you know, that bridge comes down, it's not going to, you know, snap and spark and explode. If it did snap, it could snap, but all the other stuff wouldn't have happened.
Right.
Chances are the weight would have brought it down. It would have bent, twisted, and, you know, pulled out of its foundation and fell into the water.
You know, Bill,
the foundation had an explosion.
Can we post a link to that video on our website?
You got to get it to me quick because I'm headed out of town for the holidays.
Well, we can't do it then. We really can't.
Well, no, but I can do it this evening.
I sent it to you. That's what you saw, the link.
Oh, okay. I have that then. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll see if I can do it.
I would suggest that you take care of your business and don't slow yourself down because of that.
Well, trust me. It's a leisure drive. You know.
You can go online. Go to a search engine, probably not Google. Go to
check us later on this afternoon. It may be there.
Yeah, DuckDuckGo, okay? And just type in explosions, Francis Scott Key Bridge video, and you will see it. You will not see it on mainstream media. You won't even hear it discussed on mainstream media because, as a matter of fact, if you hear it discussed on mainstream media, they'll be poo-pooing it because they don't want you to even consider that possibility. You know, don't think for yourself, right or wrong. Don't think for yourself. Don't think that there might have been another shooter in Dallas on the day that Kennedy was doing his motorcade. Don't think that there was a guy on the grassy knoll that fired other rounds at President Kennedy. Don't think like that because we have a narrative we want you to believe, and that's it. You know.
No.
And we're not saying, by the way, that we're 100% sure that they were charges, but what we are saying is it sure looked like it. It sure, I mean, if you look at the video in slow motion.
Damn good chance.
Yeah, damn good chance. Well, we looked at the video, it's like, holy. And by the way, there is no getting around the fact that ship turned into the support. It didn't.
Right.
If it had not turned into the support, it would have missed it. It literally was being manipulated to hit that structure. I don't care. The captain may have radioed, oh, we're out of control. Get some tugs here. The captain could have done all the... He may have had no control.
But, you know, when the lights went out, they came back on. And, yeah, I even magnified it. When the lights went out.
Yeah, twice.
Twice.
Yeah.
But the smoke was still coming out of the smokestack. The engines were running. But when the lights came back on and you could see, the engines were throttled up. So somebody had control, whether it was on the helm there or whether it was by remote control and that ship was not in the proper channel. It was lined up to do what it was going to do when it came into the channel.
Yeah.
That was not, you know, it wasn't a near miss. It wasn't a oopsie. It was not an oopsie. It was a yepsie. We're going to hit that damn bridge.
It didn't scrape along the side. It nailed it. It nailed that bridge. Now you're hearing things like, well, you know, there were a lot of reports of problems with the crew and other incidences that ship had in its history. The Dolly had a troubled past. You're hearing all this stuff. We don't know. We take for the truth the news that we're being fed. I was thinking as we were talking, and this is purely hypothetical, so this is just me thinking, you know, we're being told that six people died on that bridge, but we're just taking somebody's word for it. We're taking the story that's being told to us. I guess what I'm saying is that they've done so many, they've thrown so many lies out at me in the past few years that I don't trust.
You don't know
much
what to believe.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, okay. They said it was eight immigrants working. All right. You see the charges going off. Apparently these guys were on a break going, okay, hey, let's go take a break and, relax a little bit, have a sandwich, you know, and sit there. And all of a sudden, here comes that ship. It hits. It blows. Do they even know what they were doing up there, or were they expendable? And in other words, I'm basically saying, yeah, we're bringing in immigrants, legal or illegal, however you want to call it, undocumented citizens, but they're here to do a job, whether willingly and unwillingly. And maybe since these guys were here for a while, yeah, get them.
There's a lot of people, Bill, who believe 9/11 wasn't what we were told, okay? There's more to the story than we were told.
And there are people that challenge the fact that the planes, even though they knew where to hit, they did know where to hit.
But what would that say?
There was a little bit of help, and there was an extra building that went down, too, that wasn't hit.
What would that say about the 3,000 people who died that day? It would say that to somebody somewhere in this country,
it didn't mean anything.
They were expendable.
Yeah. Well, you know, there's a governmental phrase. It's called acceptable losses.
No, they call it collateral damage.
Collateral damage, which is acceptable losses. Collateral damage means, so what?
Yeah.
It's not me.
Yeah, not my family. Exactly right. So if we sound like, meaning this program, that we're pessimistic. Yeah, we are. We are. Mm-hmm. We are. We've seen a lot of lies being thrown at us. And the thing that gets me is if they're trying to force you to believe a lie, if they're trying to make it so that you have to believe the lie, you know it's a lie. The truth should be something easily accepted. The truth should be something easily accepted. A lie has to be jammed down your friggin' throat.
Yeah.
You know?
The message from the dark state to you, Mr. Harrington. Mr. Harrington, you seem to be upset. Please keep in mind, it's just business.
Yeah, it's just business. How many times have you heard that line being thrown around?
It's just business. Don't
take it personal. By the way, I should also point out, you know, we talked about, and you mentioned this yesterday in passing, but we should mention it again.
Uh-oh.
That in the Obama-produced movie that came out a couple of months ago, one of the key moments in that movie was a tanker, a big tanker, a super tanker, loses complete control of its helm and it beaches, and it's such a heavy boat, it takes out buildings. It's a big point in the movie, but it's a tanker, and it's a tanker that lost control. It was being run remotely. Bill, we see in another key point in that movie, the Teslas, all these Tesla cars out there that are running with nobody driving them under some remote control. So what happens now? We have a tanker that takes out a bridge in Baltimore, and we're supposed to believe, there's no such thing as remote control.
Oh, there's a story out there, too, that the Teslas, the self-driving ones, have a preclusion to you know, just do what they want to do on their own.
Well,
so you know, did somebody telegraph what they were doing? Well, you can't say we didn't warn you, because when Biden was on stage yesterday, he was getting heckled, and Obama stepped in, go, no, you know, you have to, you can't just talk and not listen.
Yeah.
Wait, what are you saying there?
Yeah,
I mean,
yeah.
In other words, shut up. Yeah. Listen to us.
Well,
you know,
we are.
You watch him. He tells you everything he's going to do up front.
Don't believe everything you see on the surface. Everything that is thrown at you initially. By the way, when you hear them come out, and they do it all the time, every single crisis. Well, we saw it in East Palestine, Ohio. We saw it when the ammonium nitrate was stolen. The 60,000 pounds, the 30 tons of ammonium nitrate stolen. They still haven't found it. By the way, I wonder if they could have used that to blow up a bridge. I'm just saying, you know.
Maybe so.
I mean, it would make sense to me. But,
possibilities.
But so when they rush to the microphones and they say, well, there's no sign of any terrorist attack here. This is not a terrorist attack. In the spokesperson handbook, I think on page one, number one, first thing to do, say it wasn't a terrorist attack. If it was the most obvious terrorist attack in the world, they will not want you to believe it. They want you to think, nothing to see here, don't worry about it. You're still being protected all as well.
Believe your lying eyes. Do believe your lying eyes. I mean, if you see it, you know, question it.
Exactly.
I mean, at least take a second and third look. Don't sit there and take their word for it, and, you know, because, oh, I must have misunderstood.
Look what they do to people who do that. They take that second and third look. They slow down the videotape. They magnify certain sections of the videotape so they can see closer. What they do is they make them sound like they're nuts. They make them sound.
Yeah.
Oh,
you know who we haven't heard from? Now, I probably am speaking too soon. You know who we haven't heard from on this?
Who, Bill?
Hillary Clinton.
No, we have not heard a thing from Hillary Clinton. No, she was probably too busy, you know,
No.
Getting her dress ready for the function yesterday.
Oh, yeah, and we haven't heard from her, and she's...
Did she go yesterday with Bill? I wonder if she went with Bill to that function. I saw no
she
mention.
She went with her girlfriend, but, you know, probably saw him there.
I saw no mention of Bill Clinton and Hillary being together last night at that function, so I don't know.
They're only married in name only, and it's a convenience, and I don't know how they're going to do that in the new administration when the Democrats legitimately steal the election again.
Well, the things that we have to look out for over this weekend, Bill, we're still waiting for April the 8th, which is a week from Monday. April 8th is a deadline. I guess it was the 25th. Expect things to happen between the 25th and the 8th of April, 25th of March and 8th of April. Well, we all kind of laughed at that until a bridge collapsed in Baltimore, right? But mind you, to all of our listeners out there, who are paying attention, just casually consider how the bridge story
develops
or doesn't anymore. It's going to be minimized so that by the end of Easter weekend, they'll be hard pressed to find a story about it. Something else will come along.
Actually, though, the bridge going down has a long-term catastrophic effect that we're not feeling right now because everything's comfy. But the things that go under that bridge or come across that bridge are not going under that bridge anymore and not coming across that bridge, and there's no other place for it to go under or go over. So we're going to be lacking some things very soon, very fast, and it goes right back to that bridge. And then it's going to become evident it's more purposeful. But they'll say it was an accident, it was the bridge's fault, it wasn't built for an accident like that. No, it wasn't built to be attacked. No bridge is built to be attacked. No building's built to be attacked. No plane, no ship. Our aircraft carriers are considered the most deadly force out there. One aircraft carrier can, from any spot in the world, can take out a country, and you couldn't touch it until the aircraft carrier missile, which China developed. They can fire it from anywhere. You can't track it, and it's got enough potency on it, it'll blow right through the top of that ship, right down through the hull, and just take it apart right there.
Yeah. Well,
and those ships are as big as a city.
We are in extraordinary times, aren't we, right now? I mean, this is a test of the fiber of this country. We have got to pay attention, folks. We can't let this story about the bridge disappear. You know, nobody, I heard this the first day, and then nobody's talking about this. Do you know there are 43 ships that were supposed to come out of Baltimore Harbor?
They're stuck.
They're stuck. Think about that for a second. How much of supplies and material and things like that?
Well,
and another thing we're not hearing, Bill, is on that ship that hit the bridge, there's a ton of hazardous material.
It's all safe, they're saying.
No, much of it is leaking.
Oh, well, they're not saying that.
Nothing.
So the harbor's being polluted, the water's being polluted, the sea life's being polluted.
Yeah.
You've got all these ships that have all these toxic chemicals. It is like they've made a Pearl Harbor. Now all they got to come in and start blowing up the ships.
You know, Bill.
And there's ships that were stuck outside of the harbor.
But
they
really can't
turn around and return home. How are you going to fuel them? How are you going to offload them? They can't just go, yeah, put her in reverse, turn this puppy. It's like, no.
Hey, they're you should stuck. Feel good, though. Pete Buttigieg is on the case.
Well, yeah.
You know what they said about this guy when he was the mayor? I think of, what was it, Fort Wayne, Indiana, mm-hmm. someplace like that. Someplace, some small city. They said he couldn't even repair the potholes properly. And yet we're now expected to have him handle this situation. You know, the first thing they're going to start doing, you know, I don't want to sound cynical, but, you know, if a private company were running the replacement and removal of the debris and replacement of the bridge, they probably would have it done within a year. But mm-hmm. the government handling it, I give it 5, 6, 7 years. It's going to take forever. They're going to worry about the environmental security of the bay and stuff like that. Everything that can possibly slow down the project will happen, you know?
And there is American ingenuity. It can do something. Look when they decided to scorch the earth over in the Middle East with the oil wells all set on fire.
Yeah.
And it was the Texas oil firefighter.
Yeah, was it Red Adair? Red Adair. Yeah.
He came in and basically took his old way of doing things and found a way to...
You know what he did?
Make it better, and he had them out, like, quickly. Something that was going to take 5, 10 years?
Yeah. They couldn't figure out how to shut these oil wells off. And what he did is, Red Adair said, wait, we're going to take a bunch of dynamite, put it on a long pole, and we're going to shove the dynamite into the snout of the fire, right where it comes out of the ground. And the dynamite's going to explode, and when it explodes, it's going to suck all of the oxygen out of the air in that area.
And that's going to be your opportunity.
And that's going to shut off. It's going to turn the fire into liquid, and they can shut it off. And that's exactly what they did. And it was the ingenuity, like Bill said, of an American citizen, not a military man, not a government official. A guy who worked in the oil rig business, you know, and...
And it's old technology. I mean, look at the Hellcats and movies like that. That's what it was all about, you know. They'd go in with the bulldozers and the dynamite thing on the front, and they'd blow it. Now, you have to go in there before it re-sparks and get her capped, but, you know, it's a hellacious job. But they did it in record time.
Yeah, they did.
And it was done.
Yep.
Hell, it'd still be burning if the government had anything to do with it.
Yep, and that's the problem we have in Baltimore. If they're in charge of replacing that bridge, it's going to take forever. Hey, my friend, we're taking tomorrow off in case you are just joining us. We're not going to be here tomorrow because it's Easter weekend. We want some time to kind of relax and think about what's happened. Unless Bill and I both agreed, if something major were to happen, something that we think that our 2 cents would mean something, we may do an update, a quick update. But otherwise, we'll see you guys on Monday, right, Bill?
That's well, we won't see him. We'll talk to him.
That's true. Right? Well, I can see him. They don't know it, but I can see him.
Oh, you have a special monitor. Yeah,
you see that guy over there? Isn't he cute?
No, I'm not looking. I'm not looking.
You're listening in your pajamas, are you? Huh?
No, I got jeans and an old shirt on here, you know?
Anyway, that's about it for us. I hope you all have a happy, healthy weekend, Easter weekend with your families. Understand something that it is all
something.
It's the most important day in Christianity. It's the most important day, and this weekend. By the way, it's Good Friday today, which is another important day in Christianity. It's the day that Christ died, and we celebrate this day as the day that Christ died, and it's a solemn day. But it's part of the Easter weekend, and I hope you all have a wonderful week. It's not about Easter bunnies, friends. It's not about eggs. It's about Christ. That's what it's all about. And, he gave his life so that we can live in the world we live in, even with all this evil and corruption trying to, get our attention. He gave us a good world, and we're fighting to get it, to keep it. You were saying, Bill?
I was listening. I mean, I had something to say, but I just let you do your thing. I will say this. Don't be surprised, though, if something doesn't happen this weekend. Even though it is a holy, reverent weekend,
I'm afraid, in all honesty, but I'm afraid of something on Easter Sunday. I don't want to sound like I'm predicting anything, but I guess I kind of am. I think that I don't trust the world that we're living in right now. I also don't trust that we have a government that's paying attention to the important things in this world. So, I'm a little concerned about Easter Sunday. If you're going to be in large crowds, folks, on Easter Sunday, please be careful. Be aware of your situation. Also, be aware of where exits and things like that are so that maybe you can get away if something dangerous were to happen. I don't want to sound like an alarmist, but I guess I kind of do. But this is the world we live in right now, And
it's not a safe place anymore. Anytime you go out anywhere, you've got to be thinking of, how to protect your fanny. Because
what's the old saying, Bill? Keep your head on a swivel. Look around, see what's happening in the world that we're living in the room that you're standing in. This sounds crazy, but this is a matter of fact. I was reading a story where they've put warnings out to churches to be aware of the possibility of terrorist attacks on Easter Sunday. That, when you hear that, it's got to give you pause. So just be concerned, be aware, and hopefully with the grace of God, you'll have a wonderful weekend with you and your family, and we talk about how silly I was to even bring it up on Monday.
April Fool's Day?
April Fool's Day. I forgot. I think we should wrap this show up. Hey, listen, if you want to contact us, our number is 833-538-7868. 833-538-7868.
Mail it, itsanotherday.com, mail at jimandbill.com, jimandbill@mail.com. Are there any other emails that I should know about? What's your email?
You might have mentioned
what's
it.
What's my line? Yes. There. Okay. Well, other than that, as the Easter Rabbit said at the last place he dropped off his eggs, hasta la vista, baby, I'm out of here.
This is CRN America.